In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, world without end, let everyone say amen. Brother Larry, thank you so very much for your warm introduction, and greetings to everyone here. What a blessing and a joy it is to be back at Boston University, standing in Marsh Chapel, looking into your beautiful faces. And I am delighted to be here at the generous invitation of Dean Robert A. Hill. Today is especially significant for me because this is my appearance day. I'm very thankful that I've made it once again around the sun. I would say a whole lot more, but I've been warned that I only have 21 minutes. But I think I'm going to just add, the university looks wonderful. So a shout out to President Robert Brown and to Catherine Kennedy and to Dean Ken Elmore for the unusual paradigm shift in the rollout of the Howard Thurman Center that's going to have long-lasting effects across the university, and I believe internationally. Our text for this morning is one of the Beatitudes, the fifth chapter of Matthew, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. I've given that short verse a label, and I want to speak with you for a little while from the topic, It's All About Peace. It is a tragic irony that 50 years ago, on the night of April the 4th, 1968, I was chatting during an intermission at a play in the George Sherman Union here at Boston University. The play was about the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And suddenly I saw a hand tap my homiletics professor, Dr. Robert Luckock, on the shoulder. The arm belonged to Dr. Walter G. Mulder, the venerable dean of the School of Theology. The two men walked out of the auditorium, but I could still see them and a worried expression on Dean Mulder's face. I decided to interrupt them and ask if something was wrong. And Dean Mulder told me that Dr. King had been shot in Memphis. After I regained my courage to speak, I asked if he was all right. And Dean Mulder replied, 30 minutes ago, he died. Powerful emotions rushed up in me. I froze, deeply shaken. I knew instantly that I would never be the same. I took my girlfriend, Marva, who's seated here today as my wife of 49 years, I took her by the hand, and we walked out of the George Sherman Union and east on Commonwealth Avenue. In silence, until we reached an unlit Marsh Chapel. We entered and we sat on the last pew on this side, the left side of the nave. And with tears streaming down my face, I whispered the prayer, Lord, help me to do something significant for Martin Luther King Jr. before I close my eyes. And so, for 42 years, I have held positions connected to globalizing Kingian ideals, 3 at Boston University and 39 at Morehouse College. My prayer in this chapel that historic night was a vow to have a ministry of peace. King's 12 and a half years of public nonviolent leadership, powerfully influenced by Howard Thurman, was all about peace. 50 years after the funeral of Martin Luther King, Jr., we are all trustees of the world with unconditional responsibility for the world's progress on rights, freedoms, justice, and peace. We have a moral imperative to raise the tone of democracy and bring the cosmos closer to its ancient ideals. 5 decades after King's assassination, we are spotlighting his noble, graceful, eloquent, loving, and transformative leadership of peace in the epic battle against the theft of our civil, economic, and human security rights. On the afternoon of April 4th, 1968, Dr. King made several phone calls. One of them was to Dora McDonald, his secretary at Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, to give her the title of his sermon for the ensuing Sunday, Why America May Go to Hell. Had Dr. King lived to preach his sermon, he might have reminded us of the words of Jesus, that violence against children is violence against the kingdom of heaven. Violence shows us the way to hell. The kingdom of heaven is all about peace. There is no better description of violence against the kingdom of heaven than immigrant children being separated from their parents and being housed in cages, some even nursing from their mother's milk. Isn't it interesting how young people seem to always be at the forefront of leading, initiating, or being the catalyst for historic change in the world? Martin Luther was just 34 years old when he sparked the Protestant Reformation by pinning his 95 theses to the chapel door for debate. Over a dozen signers of the United States Declaration of Independence were younger than 35. Children protested and changed labor laws in the coal mines in the United States in 1903. 3 teenagers and a young adult sat down at a Woolworth's lunch counter in Greensboro, North Carolina, in 1960, demonstrating the courage that resulted in repeal of the Jim Crow laws across America's southern states. Martin King was only 26, when Rosa Parks kept her seat on an Alabama bus. Students and young adults brought an end to America's involvement in the Vietnam War. Chinese students in Tiananmen Square in 1989 stood down a heavily armed military to demand democratic reforms. Prince Harry and Meghan are showing the world how to move toward a more integrated, multicultural, interracial social order, pointing the way to a better future for our badly divided planet. Young survivors of school shootings in the United States are advocating for change in gun policy, just as Princess Diana did with the issue of HIV/AIDS. And Barack and Michelle Obama were an unimaginable dream for me as a pre-baby boomer. The Me Too movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, the Move On movement, and the millennials and Generation Z are reminding us that America blocks the path to peace when it erects and keeps in place symbols of hate, oppression, segregation, slavery, and racial supremacy along the nation's highways, in its parks and recreation spaces, and on its statehouse grounds. We clear a path for peace when we abolish our mountainous lending practices and crippling interest rates. We journey toward peace when we have equal access to bank loans, undergraduate and professional education, equal access to affordable health care, and dignified housing. Indeed, the path to peace, to equal opportunity, is always about peace. To live under a well-functioning government that encourages sound business practices, the acceptance of the rights of others, the free flow of information, high levels of human skills, knowledge, and moral behavior, low levels of corruption, and good relations with global neighbors is all about peace. We move toward peace when black refusal of mediocrity ceases to be the catalyst for white rage. It was Thomas Jefferson who said, "Democracy cannot survive with an ignorant population." He meant that education, not white supremacy, is foundational to this nation's survival. America's survival is all about peace. Racial discrimination and sexism cannot be the goal of a government founded upon the virtues of equality, liberty, and freedom. One of the reasons I champion being a moral cosmopolitan is that it helps sustain diversity, difference, and ethical pluralism, which keeps us aware of our hidden prejudices. Sustainability is a synonym for justice. A democratic government must be all about peace, not national security, but human security. The peace we want in the world and the peace that we want in ourselves is born, this peace is born from compassionate emotion. Love is the norm that makes the practice of all virtue possible. That is what is missing in all global conflict resolution, which should be global conflict lovolution. If we become more compassionate lovers of humanity, miraculous sightings of peace will break out everywhere. Because only one thing is intrinsically good, namely love. Nothing else. The ultimate norm of Christian decisions is love. Nothing else. Love and justice are the same, for justice is love equally distributed. Love wills the neighbor's good, whether we like them or not. Only the end justifies the means, nothing else. And decisions ought to be made situationally, not prescriptively. Joseph Fletcher taught me these six propositions on the new look in Christian ethics here at Boston University School of Theology 50 years ago. Real love is an innovative approach to achieving intimate, that is, interpersonal and social justice, and global conflict resolution as lovolution. Love is not a soft, sticky sentimentality poured across the human race promiscuously, said Howard Thurman, but a deep compassion and respect for differences and for every person's humanity. Until the interest of each citizen is bound to the happiness of all citizens, there can be no peace. We are children of God when we are peacemakers. God is the ultimate peacemaker. As children of God, we are heirs to heaven and co-creators of peace. Yes, the moral arc of the universe is long, and it does bend toward justice. When each cosmic citizen is guided by virtuous behavior, then peace will show up locally and globally. The spiritual, educational, and technological evolution of the world is all about peace. You know, there's talk about spending $1,700,000,000,000 to stockpile more nuclear bombs. Now, I won't interrupt myself to tell you what that could buy. But it seems like the Defense Department, is always preparing for war, not peace. But we cannot get to where we want to be doing more of the same better. If we want peace, we should remember the words often attributed to the poet Dante: the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in time of moral crisis, preserve their neutrality. If you are not righteously and socially active today, you will be radioactive tomorrow. It's all about peace. You cannot demonize virtue and expect peace to reign supreme. We cannot have what we are not willing to be. Even now, I can hear Dr. King saying that he trembled for this nation when he considered that God is just. Even now, I can hear him saying, somewhere I read that you shall reap what you sow, and what you have done to others will surely be done to you. Now, this is the reason that Dr. King's unpreached sermon was titled, Why America May Go to Hell. There's no such thing as an angry peacemaker. To be a peacemaker, you must keep your better angels on speed dial. If you are weak, scared, ambitious, and immoral, you cannot be a peacemaker. Peace seeks out and embraces the beloved world community, which requires a philosophy of world culture, says Dr. Robert Cummings Neville. Together, we, the inescapable we, imagine, strategize, act, and advance a healing vision of our nation and world. Joining with others, we co-create, using the methods of love, to fulfill the purposes of love. One person rule is not about peace. The responsible use of power is held in concert, not by individuals. Regarding social justice issues, like the Nike Corporation, in response to Colin Kaepernick, we should all seek a grand and glorious adventure in consciousness raising. That's not too much to ask on a Sunday of a group of spiritual practitioners. The passing of King, having a healthy disregard for the impossible, is a good idea. Like the people who attempted to do what no one else would try, they contributed to creating the World Wide Web, the Internet, and everything connected to it, the digital age. It seemed impossible, but peace is possible. We must think for peace, struggle for peace, suffer for peace, work, dream, and be for peace. We must be peace itself. It is about obedience to the unenforceable. We do not get what we want. We get what we are interested in. And if you are more interested in what you don't want, that is exactly what you're going to get. And so, on this half-century reunion anniversary, I send you forth to confront the economic, environmental, political, and moral collapse of the nation. Be of good courage and go forth to reverse the demonization of virtue and the near destruction of the American dream by unbridled capitalism. Be humble in the face of arrogance and go forth to rescue a culture that cannot distinguish between reality and illusion. With callous unconcern for the feelings of others, with incapacity to maintain enduring relationships, and an unwillingness to experience guilt. Be kind to Judas and go forth to plant the banner of peace on every continent of the universe, that we may co-create a beloved cosmic community that works for everyone. From Syria to Sandy Hook, from Stoneman Douglas to South Boston, and from the sand and the sea to the stars. We send you forth from Marsh Chapel, remembering the words of Jesus, that the violence that occurs against children is violence against the kingdom of God. We send you forth to share the and raise the vibration of your love, to uplevel the vibration of your forgiveness, to increase the vibration of your service, and to so lift the vibration of your integrity and truth that you become known as miners of higher vibranium. Your vibrational address must be excellence, transformation, and peace. In the name of God Almighty, marvelous and victorious, world without end, hallelujah, amen.